We are now continuing with the book of Job. You will remember that God had allowed Job to suffer many things because Satan thought that Job would turn against God as a result. But God knew that that was not so. Job said many things during his trials that were interesting, and we're just looking at a few of them. We begin this time at chapter 23. So I hope you have your Bibles ready and will open them now at Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. After further discussion with his friends, Job felt that although he would one day see God, at that time there was a great distance between them. And Job wanted someone close at hand to help him in his great difficulties. Shall we turn to chapter 23, verse 3? Verse 3, he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." He would then be able to say just what was in his mind, he thought. He said, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me." But you know, Job knew that the Lord was not a person he could go to and talk to, just as he would another human being. In fact, Job seemed to turn in all directions without finding the Lord or the answer to his problems. He said in verses 8 and 9, Job 23, verses 8 and 9. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." If we stop there, we might get the impression that Job felt helpless and hopeless. But he wasn't really. Because he continued, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." What an important "but." "But he knoweth the way that I take." There was another side, you see. Even though he couldn't see God, Job said, "He knoweth the way that I take." We can all be assured that he knoweth the way that we take. Wherever we are and whatever our circumstances, he is watching over us. Like Job, we shall go through times of trouble. But Job didn't look upon them merely as troubles. He spoke of being tried. Yes, the Lord was trying or testing Job. Earlier on we saw the verse where Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That was a fine attitude. Whatever happened, even in death itself, Job would still trust in God. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Could he say anything better? It showed Job's faith and how fully he trusted in the Lord. So, returning to our chapter, chapter 23, Job knew that the Lord was testing him. And so he said, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, gold, when it's first mined, it doesn't come up in bright and shining pieces. You know, that appearance only comes by refining. The removal of all the impurities that are mixed with it. At one time, this refining process was carried out by heating over a furnace, and the refiner watched and waited for the impurities to form like a scum on the surface. Then he took off the scum and waited until the next lot came up. When at last all the impurities were gone, the last bit of of scum was removed, the refiner could then see his own reflection in that pure molten gold. Can you see why Job used that figure? He said, "I shall come forth as gold." He was going through his time of testing. The furnace was hot, as it were. But one day, all the impurities of the flesh, the bad things in our characters, which all of us possess, would be gone. And then God, the great refiner, would see his likeness reflected in Job. The refining process is far from pleasant. But what a great aim is achieved by it. Now we just trust that each one of you may say as Job did, "Even though I can't see him, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." If you can remember that, it will help a lot when times of trial and testing come. Once again, we have to make a big jump in the book of Job, and we pass on now to chapter 38. Chapter 38. Chapter 38. Here God is talking to Job. Among his questions, he asked, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Well, was Job there? Was anybody there? Were you there? No. Not even Adam was there when God laid the foundation of the earth. Who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth? Why, God is the only one who can control the sea. Can you control the stars? He said, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? Hast thou given the horse his strength? Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command, and make her nest on high?" This is all yet to be found in chapter 38 and 39. Job and all of us have to admit that we can't do any of those things. They are far too wonderful for us. We can't understand how most of these things are done, quite apart from any thought of doing them ourselves. So then we have to accept it that God is far more wonderful and far more powerful than we are. And it's impossible for us to understand his plans and purposes. As Job himself said earlier on, I'm turning back now to chapter 9 for a moment. He said there, chapter 9, verse 11, if you'd like to find it. He said, "He doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, What doest thou?" Well, God does wonderful things, and we can't, or at least we shouldn't, question his ways. In the end, Job had to admit, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought is withholden from thee." Now Job's three friends who had gone to talk with him about his troubles hadn't been right in many of the things they had said. But Job had prayed for them. And now, right at the end of the book, we find that God changed everything for poor Job. Whereas he had been going through very sad and trying times, now he was seeing happiness return. Look at chapter 42, verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. Just the end of the verse, verse 10. It says, "Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren," verse 11, "and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold." Before we go any farther, keep your finger in chapter 42, but turn back to chapter 1, as we must make a comparison between the two. Keep chapter 42, but turn back to chapter 1. In chapter 1, we are told in verse 3 that Job's substance, his possessions, verse 3, was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 true asses, and a very great household. Now compare that with chapter 42, verse 12. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses." That's double the number each time. And verse 10 says, "The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." But that wasn't all. Job had lost all his sons and daughters when the house collapsed on them, as we saw in chapter 1. But he had another lot. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And those daughters were so beautiful that he gave them names which meant beautiful, fragrant, and horn of beauty. And in the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. What a wonderful restoration that was. Job had come right through all his trials and testing, and now he was more than restored to his former happy position. We find that the book of Job ends by telling us verse 16, shall we read verses 16 and 17, the very last two verses in the book of Job. 16 and 17. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Before we close, let us look at James chapter 5. Now, James is right at the other end of your Bibles, just after Hebrews. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James mentioned Job when writing of examples of suffering, affliction, and of patience. That's verse 10. And then at verse 11 he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy." The end of the Lord sounds a strange expression, but it means the goal which he had in mind all the time, and that was the restoration of Job. The aim and object, the goal of the Lord, was to restore Job. But Job had to be tested first. He had to go through all that suffering and trouble. It was all part of that refining process. And it showed God's great power. We too go through trials and troubles, but all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who stand the test, however hard it may be, will receive a reward. They won't stand the test alone, for the Lord is with us and always ready to help us. And then he has promised a reward. At the end of his life, Paul was able to say, let us turn to 2 Timothy and read the words for ourselves, the second Epistle of Timothy, that's a little bit before Hebrews, to Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So we trust that each one of you may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be willing to love and serve him all your life. And so one day, having finished the course, we'll receive the crown of righteousness. We just pray that each one of you may be willing to stand the test, however hard it may be, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.